Welcome back to Nature Answers, rural stories from a changing planet. We are mixing it up this week and doing something a little bit different. We are halfway through our season, and before we get any further, we wanted to take a moment to dig a little deeper into what nature-based solutions are. If you have been listening to Nature Answers for a little while, you have probably heard us explain and talk about nature-based solutions to climate change. In short, we often describe them as ways of adapting to climate change using the lessons learned from nature. And we know that they have to have both ecological and community benefits. But what does that really mean? Today, we are traveling to Burkina Faso to meet Farm Radio International's nature-based solutions specialist. Sarem Gebre, as her title suggests, is an expert in nature-based solutions. But she has also worked in international trade, environmental economics, public policy, and corporate social responsibility. She's got a degree in sustainable development and environmental economics, and she has plenty to say about what makes a nature-based solution. Here, she is talking with Nature Answers producer and editor, Tara Sprickhoff.
Welcome. Before we begin, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, Tara. Very happy to be here with you. My name is Sarem Gebre. I'm the nature-based solution specialist for Farm Radio International. I have a background in economics, but I also specialized in environmental economics and sustainable development.
What brought you to wanting to work in sustainable development and, you know, environmental issues?
Well, when I studied economics, I realized that economic issues are very much related to social, environment, and economic aspects of our daily lives. So for me, it's to have like a global picture and to have pragmatic approach for dealing with, you know, economic issues.
That brings us to today's topic a little bit, which is nature-based solutions. So I know for many people out there, that's a very unfamiliar word. So would you be able to explain what nature-based solutions are?
Sure, yeah. So nature-based solution in a simple way are actions that work with nature or working with nature to solve some of our biggest challenges in our society, like climate change, like food security, like water security. And more specifically, it's about protecting, restoring, and sustainably managing our natural ecosystem so that we can ensure human well-being without harming biodiversity or nature.
Can you give me an example of a nature-based solution?
Sure. So one of the most common example of nature-based solution is forest landscape restoration. So this concept of restoring degraded forest in a given country or in a given region by using, for example, a concept of agroforestry. So agroforestry is a practice that includes planting trees among crops, among agricultural crops. So that's one example of nature-based solutions.
Can you explain why that in particular fits into the world of nature-based solutions?
Well, you know, when it comes to nature-based solution, we have this global standard, this IUCN global standard. So IUCN is this international organization, which stands for International Union for Conservation of Nature. And this global organization worked on this global standard to come up with a basic framework to qualify an action as nature-based solution or not. So these are like 8 criteria with 28 indicators, and there are specific criteria, and you can see if some actions are qualified as NBS or not through this global standard.
Okay, so we've explained what they are and that they're important for ecosystems and things like that. But why are they so important that we are running an entire project on this, that we're doing a podcast on nature-based solutions? What's really the importance of them?
To understand really the importance of nature-based solution or the relevance of this concept, you know, we need to go back to the basics, so where it all started. And nature-based solution, the story of nature-based solution starts with biodiversity. And biodiversity should be at the foundation of these activities or these actions that we're calling nature-based solution. And nature-based solution is one of the way to tackle climate change, but also biodiversity loss. These are the two major crises in our world right now. And this concept of nature-based solution is probably one of the best solutions for tackling these two crises. And when we say that it's one of the solutions, it means there are other solutions and there are other complementary solutions that needs to be taken into account. For example, solutions that can, you know, reduce considerably our green gas emissions are very much welcome in combination with nature-based solution. But also, you know, changing radically our way of production, our way of consuming items and food and things like that.
One of the things that sticks out to me about nature-based solutions is we're talking about biodiversity, we're talking about protecting natural environments, we're talking about working side by side with nature and taking lessons from nature to use. But there's also a human element to it and making sure that communities can also benefit. Can you explain why that's an important element of this?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a very good question. So nature-based solution should also deliver human benefits, whether it is economic benefit, whether it could be, you know, social and environment. So I think if human communities or rural communities can get economic incentive in order to implement those actions, then that would be very much effective, and they will be for sure encouraged to implement those actions that are called nature-based solution. And it's very important for also the sustainability and of these solutions. If we can guarantee long-lasting economic and social benefits, then we can make sure that these communities are actually implementing those actions.
So in a way, that the human element is to make sure that these solutions are able to be implemented long into the future, and that communities are willing to work with it and don't have to sacrifice for it?
Yes, exactly. You know, there's always trade-offs between conserving biodiversity or conserving nature or trying to follow some activities that can harm nature, but they can provide well-being or they can provide monetary benefits to rural communities. So in that sense, the fact that nature-based solutions ensure economic benefits, then that would also offset these trade-offs.
What do you hope for the future with nature-based solutions?
Well, my hope is that, you know, rural communities are implementing these nature-based solutions. They understand why it is important to implement those nature-based solutions, and they can fully benefit from them.
Is there anything else you would add about nature-based solutions or anything that you think is important to mention?
I would pretty much emphasize on the fact that nature-based solutions are actually actions, practical actions, not strategies, not programs, but concrete actions that could be monitored and evaluated over time.
Lovely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tara.
That was Sarem Gebre in conversation with Tara Sprickerhoff. To learn more about the IUCN Global Standards for Nature-Based Solutions, you can visit their website, We will put the link in the show notes. For more about Farm Radio International's project on nature-based solutions, visit farmradio.org/natureanswers. In 2 weeks, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming with an episode from Uganda. Yes, but until then, this is Nature Answers, rural stories from a changing planet. I am Martin Morgan, your host, coming to you from Yaoundé, Cameroon. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Hi, I'm Tara Sprickerhoff, and I produce and edit this podcast. It's been a pleasure for me to listen to the stories that the students have written and shared on Nature Answers, though we didn't get one of those today. And it's always a pleasure to work with Martine as she records the episodes. The podcast is a production of Farm Radio International, and the students join us as part of an internship program with Carleton University. We wouldn't be able to make it happen without the many, many staff and community members who contribute their time and voices to these episodes. Among them are Sarem Gebra, who you heard from today, Charles Cachota, and Christian Robillard. And of course, this podcast would not be possible without funding from the Government of Canada.